Well, it's great to see so many folks out this morning. You seem to be growing a little bit, and that's an answer to my prayer for sure. Good to see the Waddingtons finding their way back from Texas. And good to have them back in our midst today. And a little disappointed. I thought you'd be into the shorts today, Don, so I wore my short sleeves. Yesterday. Okay. We're working on it. Well, how many have seen all of those wonderful commercials on TV that have pictures of individuals taken in the before and the after? Believing in some kind of miracle-working supplements to reduce weight or to stem hair loss. I suspect mine is getting a little thinner regardless of what all I'm doing, which is nothing, just for the record. So these before and after pictures can be quite convincing. They show that miracles really do happen, maybe, and surely there must be some significant benefit in these products, since the U.S. population spends about $70 billion a year on weight loss products and about $9 billion on hair loss. And you know, just, you know, those numbers, sometimes we lose context, don't we? You know, that's more than four times the annual budget of Nova Scotia. Unfortunately, for many, perhaps most of the users, the before and after pictures are almost identical. Today is the day when we observe communion, and we're taken back in time, back a couple of thousand years to an upper room in Jerusalem, where Jesus was informing his closest followers that his death was imminent, just a few hours away. The cross was to be a before and after event that forever changed the history of our world and the people who occupy it. I'd like to just study this before and after picture with you this morning. And so let's think for a moment or two about some of the aspects of the before picture. The Jewish nation, descended through the patriarchs like Abraham and Noah and Adam, Jacob, they'd all been chosen to receive God's law, the covenant, if you will, of the Old Testament. They were privileged to have the temple as their worship center and a sacrificial system that was able to deal at least temporarily with their sin. People outside of their nation became known as Gentiles, people believed to be permanently outside of God's family. This despite the fact that they too had all descended from Noah. Even within the Jewish nation, there was strife. The Samaritans of the northern kingdom were hated, even though many of them traced their lineage back to King David. So the before the cross picture of the world's population was one of strife, one of animosity, and one of frequent wars. There seemed to be no way on the horizon, no method that would be able to ever bring these many peoples into a common bond with each other and a common bond of faith. The scope of God's plan at that time for the redemption of the fallen world seemed to be restricted to a relatively small segment of the world's population, that of the Jewish nation. This before the cross picture of the Gentiles, and that's us, we're all Gentiles, contained some nasty name-calling and some very serious circumstances. So we begin our before the cross picture in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. And we read there, Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus. He says, don't forget you Gentiles, you used to be outsiders. You were called uncircumcised heathens by the Jews. So let's build our list then of key points about our before the cross picture. Number one, considered outsiders. Number two, considered uncircumcised heathens. Now let's go on to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. Paul writes, in those days you were living apart from Christ. Note this, you were excluded from the citizenship among the people of Israel. And you did not know the covenant promises that God had made to them. You lived in this world without hope and without God. And so we can now add to our list of the before the cross picture. Number three, excluded from the citizenship of God's family, and no knowledge of God's covenant promises, without God and without hope. You know, this before the cross picture certainly appears to be very, very bleak. But you know, the good thing and the good news is that God has always had a plan to provide an option, a plan that would allow those who choose to do so to be united in the after the cross picture. And Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, he talks extensively about God's plan. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 4 to 7, he writes, "As you read what I have written, you will understand my insight into this plan concerning Christ," and I put in brackets there, the Messiah. "God did not reveal it to previous generations, but now by his Spirit, he has revealed it to his holy apostles and prophets." See, Paul and many Jewish people before him, they had studied the Old Testament extensively. They had seen many of the prophecies, but somehow they had kind of missed the big picture of Christ coming to fulfill those prophecies. And so the Holy Spirit then was able to take what Paul was reading and what he had learned from the Old Testament to amplify it and to connect with his mind and to illuminate the real picture of the coming Messiah. He goes on to say, "And this is God's plan. Both Gentiles and Jews who believe the good news share equally in the riches inherited by God's people. Both are part of the same body, and both enjoy the promise of blessings because they belong to Christ Jesus. By God's grace and mighty power, I have been given the privilege of serving him by spreading this good news." And all of us should be very much thankful for the spreading of the good news by Paul and those who followed him. So the after the cross picture presents an amazing new view, a radically different view of the world. Everyone now, whether Jew or Gentile, has the opportunity to find common ground at the foot of the cross. Everyone has the opportunity to enjoy the inheritance of the riches made possible through Christ Jesus. Everyone is now equal because of the cross. So let's just build our little list here of some of the details of the after the cross picture. Ephesians 2, chapter 2, verse 14. "For Christ himself has brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people when in his own body on the cross he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us." So key point number one is peace can be ours through Jesus. Peace among what was previously warring people. Secondly, hostility ended. All people became equal. And now from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 15, "He did this by ending the system of law with its commandments and regulations." And so point number three becomes the legal system with its many sacrifices ended. Now there is one sacrifice for all time. In my daily reading plan, I'm going through the exciting book of Leviticus. How many would say that Leviticus is their favorite book? But it's an important book. And as you read this, the book of Leviticus, you are given information, verse after verse, of all of the many sacrifices that were required for different types of sin, whether it was sin by the people, sin by the priests, and so on, and animals and birds, and you would have to have a handbook in your home, I think, to be able to know that if you had felt that the Holy Spirit was convicting you of some sin through the week, you'd have to revert to the handbook to know exactly what kind of animal or what kind of bird needed to be sacrificed and who needed to be involved in that sacrifice so that your sin could be temporarily covered. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 17 says, "He brought this good news of peace to you Gentiles who were far away from him." So remember, in the old, before the cross picture, Gentiles were way far away from ever coming into God's presence. "And peace to the Jews who were near." And Paul says, "Now all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us." So we have some principles here of coming to know the Lord as your personal Savior. Christ and his sacrifice on the cross, the blood that was shed, gives us the opportunity. And the Holy Spirit comes along and he convicts us of the sin in our life. And all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so there becomes a stronger realization that we need to do something in order to have restoration with God. And that Holy Spirit then is involved in bringing us to the cross, and as we confess our sins, regenerating us so that our lives start on that process of sanctification and holiness. So number four, now everyone is equidistant from the cross. And you know, now that we've got 4 points, the good news is that even with 4 points, really critical points, that are after the cross picture and its benefits continue to grow. If we go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, Paul writes, "So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people, and you are members of God's family." No longer, point number five, strangers and foreigners. Point number six, now we are citizenship eligible. Citizenship eligible. Think about that for a minute. If we compare that with our country's citizenship process, if you're born in Canada, you are citizenship eligible. That's the way it works. And when we think about that, there are other many people that go through various forms of immigration, and eventually they become citizenship eligible. And if they follow through on that, and I say if, because that's an important word in this, if they follow through, eventually they become citizens of Canada. Think about kingdom citizenship now for a moment. You become kingdom citizenship eligible when you're born by the Spirit of God into his kingdom. That's how you become eligible for kingdom citizenship. It's when you're born again by the Spirit of God, you immediately become citizens of the kingdom. That's a key point, number six. Seven, you now then are a member of God's holy family. That's the holy family that we are members with, jointly with brothers and sisters here on earth, members of God's holy family, and joint heirs, brothers and sisters, with the Lord. Eight, very important here, all of us have access to God through the Holy Spirit. No longer are Gentiles far away and the Jew who were deemed to be near. We are now equidistant from God, And both have the opportunity for redemption and adoption as the Holy Spirit draws us and ministers to us. 9, we are becoming part of the new house that God is building. You know, before the cross, the temple was often referred to as the house or God's house. If we consider Matthew chapter 23, verse 27, 37 and 38, Matthew there writes, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones God's messengers. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen protects her chicks beneath her wings, but you wouldn't let me. And now, look, your house is abandoned and desolate." Now think about this for a minute. If Jesus had been referring to the children's houses that he speaks about here, speaking about the children, he would have used the plural form houses. But the singular appears here indicating a single building, and that is the temple. Let's also look at Luke chapter 21, verse 5 and 6. Some of his disciples began talking about the majestic stonework of the temple and the memorial decorations on the walls. But Jesus said, "The time is coming when all these things will be completely demolished. Not one stone will be left on top of another." So Jesus, in these verses, is predicting the physical destruction of the temple. And we know that that particular prophecy was fulfilled in the year 70 AD when the Roman general Titus entered the city and destroyed the temple. Now, it's also interesting that from what we can learn from materials outside of the scriptures, that the original intent was not to destroy the temple because it was deemed to be one of the seven wonders of that period of the world. And so the orders were given to the soldiers that they were to preserve the temple. But what we're told is because the siege had lasted so long, they became so enraged that when they entered the city, they burned the temple and it was completely destroyed. Ephesians 2, chapter 20, verses 22, though, is pretty exciting. At least it is for me. I'm not sure whether you get excited when you read the word. But Paul there is writing and he says, "Together," he's talking about the house again now. "Together," he says, "we are his house." See, the Old Testament temple was destroyed. It's interesting. It's never been built again. The Old Testament house was destroyed, and Paul says, "Together we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself." Notice how we're involved here, intricately involved. He says, "We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord." So are you beginning to see the picture here? "Through him, you Gentiles are also being made part of this dwelling where God lives by his Spirit." So the after the cross picture is a picture of the Gentile and Jewish believers, people who have been born again by the Spirit of God, being built into a new holy temple where God lives by his Spirit. Think back to the Old Testament again just for a moment or two. You'll remember that God's awesome presence was manifested from time to time in the holiest of holies in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament temple, the Shekinah glory of God was manifested there on many occasions. But where we are in the after the cross picture is that God's presence no longer dwells in a building made of stone, but in the hearts of believers who have been filled with the Holy Spirit. Paul made this point as well in his visit to Athens. In Acts chapter 17, verse 24, he records this statement. He is the God who made the world and everything in it. And since he is the Lord of heaven and earth, he doesn't dwell in man-made temples. You think about the significance of what Paul is saying here. Where is the presence of God today? Where is the presence of God today? You know, I pray regularly, probably every day, it's certainly most days, is that the presence of God would fill this building. You've heard me say this many times. That the presence of God would fill our sanctuary, that the presence of God would fill our Sunday school rooms, that the presence of God would fill our rooms where we are doing other things, our events, our archery club, our thrift stop, and so on and so forth, that God's powerful anointing presence would fill this building. And I believe that the secret to that is that God's presence, God's Holy Spirit, would be welcome and fill each and every individual believer that is part of God's family here in Chesley Community Church. And here's the result of that. The more that we are filled, with the Spirit of God individually, the more this place will be filled with the Spirit of God collectively. And the more that you and I are anointed with the power and presence of God, the more our ministries, each and every one of them, will be anointed with God's presence and God's power, and we will begin to see God move in amazing ways. How many believe that? If you got your hand up, you have a job to do. Welcome His presence. Welcome the presence of His Holy Spirit into your life. Seek His anointing and seek His empowerment. And may God fill you and bless you as you do. The Word of God says, if you ask, will He give you a stone? Will He give you a fish? No, it says He will give you the Holy Spirit. And I pray for that anointing and that empowerment on each and every one of us. You and I, churches like this, are being built into the new temple. Isn't that exciting? It's amazing. It's amazing. Wow. Off on a rabbit trail here, but I'm sure you're familiar with the scriptures that talk about the heavenly Jerusalem coming down. What was in Jerusalem? The temple. The Holy Spirit. Awesome presence filling the temple. Picture the heavenly city coming down. And the temple of believers filled with the Holy Spirit being brought back to a new heaven and a new earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So let's wrap up with some thoughts about status. The cross marks significant status change for the person desire to be right with God and serve Him. Much has changed compared with the before the cross picture. Unlike many of the weight and hair loss supplements, before and after pictures are considerably, may I say, radically different. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17, Paul writes, Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Notice that if again. We have the opportunity to live in the new picture. We have the opportunity to believe that Jesus did really come. He did really pay the complete penalty for our sin. We have the opportunity to seek forgiveness and promise to live our life going forward serving Him. If we so choose, we can be born again to this new life. We can be filled with the Holy Spirit. And we can be part of this new house, this spiritual temple that God is continuing to build throughout the world. Yes, you can. Yes, you can be born again. Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be. If you want to experience the kingdom of heaven, Nicodemus, you must be born again. And yes, you can be filled with the Spirit of God. The Spirit can be a part of your life. We can be a part of the new house God is building using those who are born again and filled with the Spirit. We can, if we so choose, be a child of God and be part of the after the cross picture. But the if word is so important. I hope and pray that you've taken the action, taken the if out of your personal story, that you've asked and received the Lord's forgiveness, and that you've committed yourself to live for Him. Let's pray. Lord, it's an amazing plan that Paul outlined for us. A plan that took the Gentiles, and we're all part of that world, took the Gentiles who were so far away, and came up with a plan that they might not only be brought into the family, but they would receive the covenant promises. They would receive the riches of His inheritance. They would receive sins forgiven. They would receive the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, you know the hearts here today. I pray that if anyone is searching, struggling with where they are spiritually, I pray, Lord, that before today is out, that they would take the if out of the equation, that they would come humbly asking for forgiveness and be born again by the Spirit of God. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.